Love that is up or springing or rising eternal as a fountain. And I want to just say, I love this quote. I keep it here in my notes on my phone because I use it frequently. And I've probably read it in this class somewhat recently, but I think this puts it also very succinctly. Let's see if I'm spelling it correctly. Maybe I can't find it right away. Get the word fountain in here. Okay. Well, maybe this is a good one too. This is one that I wish I knew, could find that quote quickly, but I don't think I'm going to. But here's one that maybe it just came out. And so as water in a fountain flows as a stream and falls into many drops divided in time and space, so are the revelations of one stream of truth. But this other quote is this something like, those that have been great streams of love through whatever conditions, whatever circumstances, those are the ones that are truly happy. So I think if we have a choice, it's best to choose love. How does it hurt us? I have found in my own life, I've been told I have a pretty big antenna. What happens to a big antenna or something that's way up there? What is the purpose of an antenna?
To receive.
That's also other things like a lightning rod. What happens there? So sometimes, you know, you can also, all of us, can become like an object of projection. Sometimes those projections are beautiful and sometimes they're not. But people need to see themselves. And I think sometimes they seek out people who they know can maybe reflect things back to them. If one takes that all very personally, then one can be overwhelmed in life by those projections. But if one can remain clear and really ask oneself, is this something from me or is this just something coming at me? Then it can just be radiating love and understanding and slowly maybe bringing the awareness into a deeper understanding for the individual or group that's coming at it, coming towards oneself. It can be such a rewarding experience to be that still mirror for someone. They can see themselves. I've told this story before, but I don't know that I've told it here. I've told it at art retreats in the Ozarks, but there was this one boy that I had in class. You know, I taught college and just retired a year or so ago. And he dressed always in leather and chains. And I think, you know, he never shared it and I never asked because I can't and he didn't want to tell, but I think he might have had a level of autism because he had to be busy all the time. Even when I was lecturing, he wasn't always taking notes. He was sketching feverishly and furiously. And he didn't interact well with others. And if he did, it was often with a kind of angst or anger. And it was getting close to his graduation, and he certainly had talent. And one day I got caught on the elevator with him alone, going up. We were on the third floor. And I just, you know, I can be direct, sometimes maybe too direct for some people. But I said to him, and I kind of made a gesture, I said, what is this all about? And he went like this, and he said, what? He said, you realize the way you present yourself scares people? Is that what you intend to do? And he started to cry. And he said, no. I said, it is, you're pretty tough. And I said, but is this what you want to do? Is this how you want to be? And he said, no. He said, and he was crying. And he said, but I don't know any other way to be. Will you help me? And he said, I'd like to know how to to Dresden act different ways. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to bring some of my fashion magazines, and you go get one or two JQs, you can even get them at the library, and you come in, and we'll start to look at a different way for you to present yourself. That's the first step, because as a professional, I don't think unless you're going to work in a tattoo parlor, or this is going to do it as a designer. So we did it. And he started to, and I said, you know, if you need someone to go with you, we can go to secondhand stores and find cool stuff for you to wear. He has an amazing career, and not only amazing career, but it's in a service aspect of our industry. And he's grown to be like the teacher. He helps professionals and students alike in the delivery of things that are needed for the industry, for presentations. And very knowledgeable. And, you know, it who knows? But it seemed to have changed his life and gave him, that someone could see him. That's what I'm saying. Someone cared enough to see him. So sometimes when people, like children, come on. If you've had a child, what do they do when they want your attention? Sometimes they misbehave, right? Or I know that with Barker.
Or a pet,
you know, they'll do something. I mean, look at him now. My mother would, he was my mom's dog. She said, I'd like to bring him to your class because she would come. And he will never sit still. Look at him. Before he never sat still, he was very anxious and, you know, really rambunctious, but it's possible. You know, you can change people and creatures and atmosphere. There are these great stories of some of the saints in India and Arabia where all they did was just sit. And it might be an area of poverty around them, and then slowly it just started building up. Or you know, you see that in a neighborhood. One person starts to fix up a home and it just lifts the whole neighborhood. So these are the kinds of things that Mershon's talking about. So we want to now go to the next level. Again, I wanted you to remember that Mershon talks about the heart, a flame that radiates. So the first level of heart is like the moon, it receives. The second level of heart is like the sun, it radiates. And the third level is like this constant spring. So it's constantly rising and giving and giving and giving. It's never empty. It's not like a cup that can get depleted. It just keeps rising and flowing. So the next level of this practice, we did Allah. And the next one word is Mahbood, M-A-H-B-O-O-D, or sometimes M-A-H-U-D. And this means the object, the one who is the object of love. So if we think of everything and everyone and every circumstance as the object of love, we can't go wrong. It's a challenge. No one said that the spiritual path is like you said, Elizabeth, it's a razor's edge. So easy to slip off. And I don't know about you, but I get most disappointed in myself, not in others, when I slip a bit. I try to get back on the path. So let's say Mahbood. Mahbood. M-A-H, remember that. Mahbood. Mahbood. So, Mahbood. Mahbood. And the accent is on the ood at the end. The mah is a little shorter. Mah. Think about these sacred sounds as ma, ma, this, if you just make that sound, you feel kind of this kind of opening the heart up. It's even the sound mama, mom, mom. It's a sacred, you know, they call the holy women in Indian ma, ama, and in Arabic it's ama, ama, mother, ama. Those that know amaji, that's ama, mother. And then ma opens the heart, pumps it like the well. Mood. Giving, 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 giving. Then we whisper. Or silently, just think of that. The one who is all deserving of all of our love. And if we see the one in everything, in every circumstance, in every being, in every place, then all is deserving of our reverence and our love. The fourth and the highest aspect of magnetism is the magnetism of soul. The soul that is born again. The soul that is born again. The soul that has begun to live. The soul that has opened its eyes to the world. Okay, the soul that is born again. Well, souls first, well, I think the soul for me, first of all, is eternal. But it is given a role when it is breathed into the body that comes to the earth. I think it gets covered up a lot in our learning. We get, do this, don't do that, this is proper, this is not proper. There's a lot of veils that when we get in touch with that soul, that eternal quality, then it really is born again to us. We start to experience the soul, not just the heart, not just the thinking, not just the body, but something beyond all those things that even is like all-encompassing, eternal. This past Sunday, the friend of which I spoke, I was called to be with the family and some of the friends of her. Her daughter called and said, will you come here and pray with us? Again, such a deep, to be called to do that was so beautiful. And, you know, we held hands around. We touched her, held her hand, and all held hands. So we said the Lord's Prayer together. And then I invited everyone to please come up if they wanted to whisper something, a message to the ear. And it was so imperceptible. After that was completed, she just left. And it is interesting, the door opened twice. Her daughter kept requesting the door to stay closed. It opened by itself. You know, it was latched. I mean, there wasn't a lock on it, but it was latched. And I thought, and it happened that her son had preceded her in death as well as her husband. And I think they just kept coming in to help her, usher her away. It was quite lovely. And it was so great, graceful, and almost imperceptible, you know. And how lucky we could all be to be surrounded with loved ones and just go like that. No suffering, just day or two before out for a nice walk, and then 2 days later just taking your last breath. So the feeling, even in the service on Thursday, She wasn't gone. She's still with us, you know. She lives on, her soul, her spirit, her being lives on. And so, you know, hopefully, like this woman who was just lovely and very childlike in some ways, in a mature, beautiful way, but also childlike enthusiasm, light always, enthusiasm. You know, that's a kind of love, and everyone expressed that's what her gift was to them. So, you know, that we may do it quietly, we may do it loudly, we may do it in different ways, but that soul quality to share that, you know. But we have to know it first, to know our notes and share them, share our song with another person's song and harmonize it. So the soul that is born again, born but then to be birthed again as adults, you know, we come to another realization perhaps through life. The soul that has begun to live, excuse me, the soul that has opened its eyes to the world doesn't want to just go hide, but can also see beauty in distress and see beauty in everything. The soul that has opened its eyes to the world, the soul that not only attracts the wise and the virtuous, but also, excuse me, sorry, got a little dry tickle. But also those who are devoid of wisdom and who lack virtue. So again, you know, service, love, helping others, being in the world, wanting to be a complete human being. Excuse me. Could you hand me one of those? I think I'm going to keep coffee. You see the little? I always keep them there for. So I keep my right. You know, basically, we can't help ourselves when we're stupid. And other people can't help themselves when they act stupidly. It doesn't mean they're stupid. But we all do stupid things. You know, earlier today I was thinking, I went through a flash because I was yelling at Joe from downstairs. He'd taken Parker for a walk. And then he said, should I feed him? I said, my God, we have to always remember, first feed the dog, then walk the dog. And I thought, oh yeah, now I'd be real proud of myself if someone was online and heard me yelling at my husband. So now I tell you, because there's no secret. If you have secrets, you're not happy because you have to hide things. So I tell on myself. But, you know, it happens like that. Joe's so kind. He's so kind. He's not a puss, but he's very kind to me. He's a very strong person. You have to be to live with me. Come on. But at any rate, those who are also devoid of wisdom or who lack virtue, we love them just the same. We don't know what's beneath that. Perhaps we're being deceived by our eyes or our mind. There may be something incredibly beautiful underneath it, and there usually is. It's just us who cannot yet see it or feel it. The presence of souls who have awakened is itself a magnetism. So just being with them, you think, gosh, you know something. You know, you feel something. It draws people walking on the earth. And it also draws souls that are not seen on the earth. When Joe and I were just in Niagara, he recognized someone passing by that reminded him of someone we both know. That happens to me often. Perhaps you've seen someone, you see someone and you think, oh, they remind me of so-and-so. What happened that the person that Joe was seeing reminded him of someone that we both know and has not so long ago became deceased. And my mother always told me when that happens, someone, the person's communicating to you and asking for a connection, say a prayer for them.
What a beautiful thing to say or think. Now, I think, you know, we're just one generation removed from the old country. I mean, these things, this old wisdom has gotten lost sometimes. Well, I think they really believe that. Just like that door opening, there wasn't a person in that room that didn't think somebody else had entered it that we didn't see, that was being called upon when we were praying. So, there are unseen forces. So then when it says here, it draws people walking on the earth. It draws souls that are not seen on the earth. And I've said it many, many times. If we saw everything that was actually going on around us, they'd be saying, lock her up. And not like Hillary Clinton in the paddle cell. So, if you know, it is happening. Can we tune to that? But I think that's a step to tuning in towards the eternal God, the eternal oneness. And this is all, you know, I think about it as these vases. I mean, what's the difference between this and this? This space in here and this space in here is nothing. There's no difference. It's just this little, this thing. If it breaks, then this and this become the same. That's how we are. It's Mama knocking, Parker. Come on. Right? I mean, think about it. That's what our bodies are.
Vessels.
We're vessels. We're vessels for the soul. We're vessels for the breath. It's all being vessels. So I often think of that. Now, we might put certain things in there and it holds it, but, you know, we have to remember it's a veil of illusion. There's a lot of things that are going on and you can feel them. Why do you think a mood suddenly shifts? Because something's there. You don't have to know why. Sometimes you have a sense of it, but it's good to turn to prayer. If nothing else, just thank you, God, for everything. So, again, it draws people walking on the earth. It draws, and it draws souls that are not seen on the earth. It not only draws the living beings, the lower creation, the trees and the plants are drawn to it. Now, a short little story, because I know it's about time for class to be over, but I was, last year, I had the beautiful experience of being in Greenland on the solstice. And there were 33 of us together, interesting because it's a special number. And it was part of the peace pilgrimage. We were going to go on to Assisi. I think I've mentioned that to all of you. But we were invited by a shaman of Greenland, who is doing really great work and trying to preserve some of the land there. And he told me, I don't think he told everyone, but we had become very close and intimate in our conversations when there were moments to be alone. But he had said that he had gone out on the land and prayed where to put up this temporary village. Because it was like, we all slept in tents. We had a dining hall tent and a kitchen tent. And they built beautiful kind of little outhouses and places for us to wash, but there was no running water. There's no, you know, it was just very, very remote. And as we were driving up the mountain, you know, he's like, this is going to be the last cell connection you're going to have for some days, so if you need to send a message to you. So we were really off the grid, and I had never been that off the grid and that far away from what we would call civilization. It felt so different not to be bombarded by vibrations. You know, they keep saying how many birds, it's been in the news a lot and reading it in the Smithsonian and the National Geographic, how many birds are disappearing. Yes, they say it's because of cats. They say it's because of pesticides. But have you ever noticed after the 4th of July how many birds and butterflies and things are gone? It takes them a while. They go. They don't like the loud sounds. But what's more is I'm pretty sure, I mean, you probably heard the stories about the areas that are generating the G5 network. A lot of birds are dying there too. Mm-hmm. So things that we don't see, those vibrations, those animals are more sensitive. We've gotten numb to them. We have no idea what's going on, you know, through us and passing through us. Rishad Hadayat would often say, it's better to connect through the wireless coconut, you know. And then he'd call me on Skype.
Are you there?
But you see, these are also things that are very subtle. And I think that we can, I remember one time I was in a sacred ceremony with Karuna Maima, some of you've met her. And someone said, oh, this water isn't purified. She said, what's purity? What to you is purity? She said, you make this gesture. This is a sacred mudra. She said, you make this gesture, you touch your finger, and you say, Om, everything becomes pure. It could be in the mind what's pure, what's not pure. This is sacred, that's not sacred. This is right, that's wrong. No, Murshid in his teachings say, sometimes there's a right and a wrong and a wrong and a right. With every success, there's a failure. With every failure, there's a success. These seem to be opposing forces only in our learned sense. In reality, there's this duality that we always have. It's not so. That atmosphere that an awakened soul produces lives on for centuries. But also here, we help. The other thing she always taught me is keep your animals, they're my companions. Parker's my companion, he's like my everyday date in life, you know. And she would always say, keep your animal. They would say, oh, the animals shouldn't be in the temples. She said, the animals should be in the temples. You don't have any idea what they're sharing with you from their consciousness, and you may be sharing for them for their future. We can, if we have half a mind and we dedicate our practice, we can lift the world. That's what St. Teresa also said. Love is the fulcrum that can lift the world. Imagine that. An atmosphere of an awakened soul produces and lives for centuries in the world, unbroken and unpolluted. Again, look at Jesus, look at Buddha, look at Muhammad, look at Moses, look at Abraham, look at all the saints, the prophets. It's so, the great writers, the great composers, the great, you know, artists. The sky takes care of it, he says. The sky takes care of it and preserves it for generations. The sky. Now, there's a term that's also often used, and it's called the Akashic Record. Maybe you've heard that, or the Akasha. It's like an accommodation that holds things. So that might also be what he's saying here, but in a more normal language. The sky takes care of it and preserves it for generations in order to experience and enjoy this atmosphere produced by the illuminated souls. How beautiful is that? In order to enjoy this atmosphere, experience and enjoy this atmosphere produced by the illuminated souls. So what's up for us to do? To do that, in order to do that, what do we have to do?
Perceive.
How do we do that?
Receive.
Receive. Receptive. Anything else? Joe and I went, we've just gone off cable. So we bought an antenna. And we also got sleep, which is really great. You can kind of do a smorgasbord of which one. We're saving ourselves a lot of money by doing that, about $100 a month, by the way, just for tips from beyond. And we're getting everything we could possibly want. And with our antenna, you know, sometimes we have a thing on our phone that shows us where the best, and day by day with the atmosphere, it changes, which is interesting because we're close to a lot of the broadcast towers, not too far from us. So we have to shift this one antenna. One is kind of mounted on the wall where you can't see it, but upstairs we have one that we move. Well, isn't that kind of us? That's what we need to do. We kind of need to see where that vibe is, and then we need to turn towards it or tune in, you know, like a radio, get it just right. That's what we're doing. We're tuning in. Attunement, you know, the word we use a lot. It's all there. Just tune in. The third way, did I already remember? No. And there's a third way. So that's the second way that there's this atmosphere that's produced. Again, the one is this magnetism that draws people and souls to them. The second one is the awakened soul that produces something that lives on for centuries, you know, endless, beginningless time, we could say, that's held in this Akashic record, or Murshid said, it's held in the sky for all to enjoy. And the third way in which the illuminated soul shows its magnetism is in words and acts. So in the sermon I gave for the deceased this week, I was saying that beautiful phrase in the Bible of Jesus, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened. It's like that. But that last verse, you know, I went through this interpretation of each one of those verses, which is deeply meaningful, but the last one is knock, you know, and it's, that means you have to take action. And so here it's saying that. And the third way in which the illuminated soul shows its magnetism is in words and acts. It's not where it, not just something sitting there with an atmosphere, either receiving or sending, but someone that really also does something, takes purposeful act. So that every word becomes dynamic. In the Bible, the term tongue of flame, and everything that that soul gives to the world, it lives and it never dies. It lives and it never dies. Now, I'm really asking all of us to try that. Don't think of yourself as being ordinary. Each person, by the virtue of your birth, as St. Teresa of Avila wrote, we're sons, not S-O-N-E-S or S-O-N-S, we're S-U-N-S. We're sons, we're a radiant ray of the divine. How can we take that up and be that? We don't have to make apologies for it. We don't have to tell anyone we're that. We just be. We just be it. So now we bring Ishkala Mabud Allah all together. And we think of it as this, it is said that God is love, God is the beloved. God is love, lover, and beloved. But it also is, there is a secret. Love. Love in all of its permutations. Love. There is this secret. And there is the one that desires to know that secret and touch upon that secret. That's the next level. The secret is there. You have the desire to reach towards that secret. And then you become the living aspect of that secret. So when we say God is love, lover, and beloved, I'm not, I might be dense. I don't really know what that means. I have to kind of understand it in a different way. But it is also in the sense of, you know, philosophy or you know, dialectics. It's like this thing that is always desiring to be known. That is God. God is always attempting to reveal. Then, you know, it's also said God created creation so that God could see him, herself. We could, you know, needing also reflection. Well, we're here. We're here in the playground of our Lord. You know, what are we doing? So there's this secret that wants to be known. God wishes to be known. Then there's a desire that gets birthed in us to know. And then if we can come somehow into union with that, not in an individuated sense, but in a universal sense, then we become the knowledge seeking, the knowledge that is gained and the knowledge that is expressed. That has a different meaning than just God is love, lover, and the beloved. Is that clear?
Yes.
Okay. So now we're going to put these words all together. Ish, reset. Allah, reset. Mabud, reset. And we seal it with Allah again. And so this will be our concluding practice. And just one other word about this. So it's this unresistible desire to obtain this knowledge of God. And it's also expressing somehow, this is a call saying, I am myself deficient. Give me the remedy to reach thy perfection. An understanding, a taste, a glimpse. We may not live there 24/7, 365. We can live there sometimes. Perhaps that's enough. So we close with Ishq Allah Mahmood Allah. Ish Allah Mahmood.
Ish Allah Mahmood Allah. 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 Ish Allah Mahmood Allah.
And now we whisper. Now just breathe in and breathe out this phrase silently. Ishq Allah, Mahmood Allah. Something that I wanted to share, but it's disappeared all the time. So let us simply say and set our intention to be grateful, to be loving, to be kind, to consider how our atmosphere, our thoughts, our words, our actions, our motivations influence not only ourselves, but the world around us. As Dalai Lama says, we may not be able to help, but at least do no harm. Just be good and kind people. And sometimes being good means being bad. kind of cool, isn't it? But sometimes we have to be, you know, it's like sometimes we have to be straight and sometimes we have to be curvy, but it takes wisdom to know when to be what way. And so to think of being adaptable and rising to each moment the best we can is a good intention to have. And if you can't remember anything from the last few months, remember, thank you, God, for everything. Thank you, Allah, for everything. And if you can't remember Ishkana Mabud Allah, you can remember Allah. You can say that. Or whoever else inspires you, when Allah means God, and say God or Jesus. I'm still finding these little signs tucked here and there. My mom had these little teeny pieces of paper with Jesus written on it. And I see them sometimes. They've been tucked here and there. She would tuck coins in those pieces of paper. I find them, you know, as little blessings. So think of that. You know, you could even carry something like that. You know, like a, instead of a business card, a sweet saying or something that might be uplifting. And, you know, what would that hurt to just leave that with a tip on the table or stick it in a book when you return it to, you know, a little message in a bottle kind of thing. Mm-hmm. How sweet would that be?
It's like the rose I found on the path walking.
That's exactly right.
There was a rose with a little piece of paper, a pink rose, and it said, "You are a radiant soul."
Nice.
Perfect for the teaching today.
Right. Perfect for the teaching. And she found that right when we were at the hospital and the woman I spoke of passed. So I sent that, you know, I sent that on to people because I thought, wow, was that a, and I had been saying a prayer to St. Teresa that there be a peaceful passing, and she sends the message of a rose.
Yes.
So we send you our love, all those that joined here, and we bless the whole wide world. And we ask that we also receive the blessings so that we may share the blessings. And you can unmute if you want to stay a little bit in chat. I think we have some, it's actually chilled. I have some lemon cucumber chilled water for you. And some cookies and some salty snacks too with them. And they're all in the kitchen. And just a reminder, still the birthday month. So this is a really good chocolate. Joe and Parker gave me. It says, your birthday's no big deal. And then you open it up and it says,
enormous big deal.
So what's the actual date? September.
Nice.
I'm also receiving donations online. That's my birthday dish. Donations can be received through ISM USA or I have a Facebook link up there too. And thank you to all of those who have been so generous. Appreciate it a lot.
Thank you, Nuria. I send some cookies to Holland, please.
Almond cookies. I send them to you. At least we send you the sweetness of them, okay? Are you all frozen?
No.
No, they're
moving around. I don't hear anybody.
They're waiting to talk with you.